It is 10:14, and you've got it tuned to KHOM, Humble Grown Radio Without the Rules. We've had a slew of earthquakes happen over the weekend. I happened to be in the booth yesterday when we had a 4.5 hit right off the coast here, and that was a real shaker. And joining us now via the telos is Dr. Ross Stein. He is a scientist emeritus for the USGS. He's also the CEO of Tembler and an adjunct professor of geophysics at Stanford. Hi, Dr. Stein.
Hi, Lindsay.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Sure.
So we had a whole lot of activity happening off of the coast here over the weekend. Can you talk a little bit about what's going on? I read an article that you had written yesterday on Tembler, and you're calling this a seismic swarm. What exactly is a seismic swarm?
Well, a swarm is where, rather than just getting one large main shock and a bunch of aftershocks that get spaced out farther and farther apart in time, we've had kind of a staccato pop of small earthquakes. So in the last 24 hours, we've had 6 earthquakes that have registered on the USGS seismic network, and they span an area that extends from the coast near Petrolia out offshore, reaching to what is either the northern San Andreas or what we call the Mendocino Fracture Zone.
And I was looking at them on the map. Is it interacting at all with the Cascadia fault line, this swarm?
Well, that's a fantastic question, and I wish I could answer it. So, you know, just to back up, the big picture is that you are living at what a geologist calls a triple junction, a place where 3 giant plates, tectonic plates, meet and collide. So you have the San Andreas, which is shoving the Pacific coast to the northwest. That's coming from the south of you. You've got the Cascadia, the giant Cascadia subduction zone. This is the southernmost end of the Cascadia subduction zone that extends well into British Columbia. And we have offshore what's called the Gorda Ridge. So this is a place where 3 plates meet, and here they don't meet happily. There is kind of a mismatch where nobody goes down the hatch easily or slides easily, and as a result, this is the most seismically active part of the entire California and Oregon region.
How common or uncommon is it to be having these seismic swarms here?
Well, If we think about the well-recorded earthquakes, the large earthquakes, let's say magnitude 6 and larger since 1980, there's been about 25 of them, and close in, within, you know, quakes you can feel from where you're located, there's been a dozen of them since that time. So much larger quakes than what we've experienced in the last day or two are common here and happen virtually every few years. And in 1992, there was a magnitude 6.9 earthquake in the region. There was a big one in 1987, another one in 1991 and 1992. So anybody who's lived in the area for a while will have quake stories of their own to tell you.
Gotcha. And so it seems like with us feeling these quakes over the last couple of days, that maybe some folks are alarmed, and there's kind of 2 schools of thought that are existing here. It's like, oh, these quakes are good because they're relieving pressure, or, oh no, these quakes could be some kind of precursor to a much larger earthquake. Do you, as a scientist, are you able to rule one of those or the other out?
Well, we can rule one out, but not the other. So the first one that we can rule out is that these earthquakes relieve the stress that's accumulated on faults and therefore kind of signal that all is clear. Unfortunately, with quakes, it's a numbers game. So we've had the largest earthquake so far is a 4.5. To relieve the stress of a 6.5, we'd need 1,000 of them. And we've had 1. So in other words, we don't have enough of small earthquakes here or anywhere on Earth to relieve the work that's done by the big guys. The big guys do all the work. The little guys really just tell you, hey, the fault is active and it's being stressed. So that's number one. These earthquakes are signaling to us that these faults are active and that nothing goes down the hatch easily here, so everything is being torqued around. Now, the second question that you raised is, well, are these precursory? Are these indicative of a larger earthquake to strike? Well, when we look at swarms like this all over the world, we see that rarely they precede a large earthquake, but far more commonly they don't. They just fade out. And faults that produce swarms like this look like they kind of have AC/DC behavior. They can produce swarms, and they can also produce big earthquakes, and that's true here. So the short answer is most likely this is not going to lead to a big earthquake immediately. But if I step back and say, hey, give me a few years, you'll get a big earthquake, because you get them here. So everybody who lives in this earthquake should appreciate two things. The reason why the Eureka, Cape Mendocino, Humboldt area is so beautiful, so fog and shrouded, crowned with redwoods, is because these faults are uplifting these mountains, creating these valleys, and producing one of the most beautiful landscapes on Earth. So we drink the fruit of the faults every day, and so we have to learn to live with their occasional spoils. And that's when the big earthquakes occur. So everybody in the area needs to be prepared. It could happen at any time, and has in the past.
And when you're talking about being prepared, does that, like, earthquake kit prepared, or what are some things that we can, as folks who are just kind of, you know, getting kind of jolted a little bit by this last weekend, all the shift we've been experiencing here, what can we look at as far as getting prepared for bigger earthquakes in the future?
Great question. So let me take you from the $5 solution to, let's say, the $5,000 solution. First, everybody should have a marine whistle on their keychain, an international orange marine whistle, because if you end up collapsed in a building, you can't shout for very long, but you can whistle forever and people will really hear you. Also, you never lose your car keys if they're attached to an international orange whistle. So I would say everybody should have that, number one. All right, now let's move up a little bit. For, I don't know, $300, you can have a person come in to go through your home or your rental place and tell you how you could make it more quake safe and get rid of the things that could really hurt you in an earthquake. All right, let's take one more step up. You can get earthquake insurance if you're a homeowner. You know, it depends on exactly how big your home is and when it was built, but the prices will vary from about $500 to $1,500 a year. It's always going to be less than your cell phone subscription. So it's something really to think about, since for most of us in California, our home is our most important asset. Okay, next, if your home is older than about 1977 and maybe 1995, you could have it seismically retrofit and strengthened so that there will be less damage and you have a lower chance of injury in your home. And that cost varies between about $2,000 and $5,000, depending on the nature of your home. So there's a cascading series of things, and there's one more. Everybody should have an earthquake emergency kit. I have one in my car, I have one in my home, and that should have the things that sustain you for several days if you get stuck in an earthquake.
So, like, batteries and water, things of that nature.
That's right. So I would say what that should have is work gloves, in case you have to dig someone out, a face mask in case there's, you know, concrete dust when things go down, jacket, warm shoes, some food, water. I would say we're all dependent on our cell phones. We're having this conversation on a cell phone, so you should have a solar collector and battery for your cell phone. Those are the kinds of things that everybody should have in the area. A headlamp should be on it, for example, too. So, you know, if you have that kind of thing in your car, I'll bet you're going to use it all the time because all that stuff is useful. And then when you really need it in an earthquake, it'll be there for you.
So those all sound like really good, handy things. Some of them I never thought about adding into an earthquake kit. Do you imagine that with the swarm, do you think the swarm is over, or is it hard to predict things like that? And what magnitude earthquake would it take for us to have to bust out our earthquake kits and be on the ready?
The swarm peaked during the Super Bowl. We could call it the Super Bowl swarm if we want. And it has slowed down but not stopped. Now, will it revitalize? Maybe, but more likely that we're seeing it taper off. In terms of what kind of earthquake causes us to bust out the kit, oh, if it's onshore, maybe a 6 or larger. If it's offshore, maybe a 6.5, something in that range. Really depends on your location. And if you're in a kind of flat land, you probably get shaken more strongly than if you're up on bedrock. It's hard to say, and that's why it's really good to have a kit wherever you spend your time. You know, if you commute without a car, then maybe a little rucksack with that kind of stuff where you work and one in your home. But you want it to be close enough that, you know, it's available for you when you need it and will keep you going.
Gotcha. And if Ross Stein is the person that we're talking to, if you're just joining us here on KHOM, he's talking about the seismic swarm that was occurring during the Super Bowl yesterday and a little bit prior to that here off the coast at Cape Mendocino. Where would you suggest people who are interested in learning more about the way that the Earth is moving around these parts and learning about where the fault lines are and where the earthquakes are tending to happen in this region, where would you suggest they go?
So we are Tembler, tembler.net. You can download our iPhone or Android app, or you can go to our website, tembler.net. We have articles. We have an article about this swarm. And we have a seismic risk app, a free app that finds your location, tells you what your chances of an earthquake are, lets you know what will this likely cost you, and by how much you can reduce that cost if you retrofit or get insurance. So Tembler is out there as a free public service to help everyone understand their risk. And Tembler is powered by the best available public data on earthquakes, principally coming from the USGS and the California Geological Survey and FEMA.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you wanted to add, Dr. Stein?
Just remember, this area is beautiful because of the faults, and occasionally the faults shake us hard. And so part of the compact and the joy of living in such a beautiful area is to be prepared for those occasional earthquakes, so we don't have to worry too much about them.
Gotcha. That is Dr. Ross Stein. He is the CEO of Tembler, also scientist emeritus for the USGS and an adjunct professor of geophysics at Stanford. Do you have a favorite earthquake song, Dr. Stein? Sorry to put you on the spot here.
I have some favorite earthquakes, but no favorite earthquake songs.
No favorite earthquake songs. Okay, because there's a lot of songs about shaking it out there.
That's true. There's some pretty good movies out there, too.
I bet. Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning and talking and talking a little bit about the earthquakes we've been experiencing around here. I'm going to kick it to Casey and the Sunshine Band, if that's all right with you, Dr. Stein.
That sounds great.
Thanks. All right. Let's shake your booty on KHOM.
Yeah.
That's Casey and the Sunshine Band, and pretty timely song, pretty timely interview, because when we were talking to Dr. Ross Stein from the USGS and Timbler, and also adjunct professor at Stanford, he was talking about the earthquakes that have been happening the last couple of days here, and there was an earthquake that happened while we were talking to him, a 3.2, 5 kilometers east of Pine Hills. Looks like it was about 8 kilometers deep. And there's some folks calling in up in Arcata said that they felt it. So another earthquake starting the day off. It's kind of a shaking it up today, last couple days here. I'll be podcasting that interview with Dr. Stein here in just a bit. So if you just were tuning in for the tail end of it, I will get it up in its entirety on khum.com. It's 10:32 right now. We're going to take a real quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll listen to some more music together here on KHUM. Stick around.